Welcome to Wednesday evening Bible study. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino here at Locust Grove Church. We want to welcome you to this study. We are beginning a new series this evening that I'm entitling Kings and Priests. This is a partnership that we'll look at, but if you have your Bibles with you, would you open them with me tonight, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. This is going to be a fascinating study that will help us understand our calling and our purpose as children of God in the body of Christ and in God's kingdom and in His overall workings of what He does or seeking to do on planet Earth through evangelism and missions. All right? So while you're turning there, I'm going to pause and pray and open this up before the Lord. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for wisdom from Your Holy Spirit. Father, open our hearts and teach us by Your Word, by Your Spirit, Lord. Make clear to us our roles, God, in Your kingdom. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, they say that any good job description, it has very well-defined roles and responsibilities. I think that if you have a job that has very vague roles and responsibilities, I can almost guarantee you that there's going to be a little bit of trouble down the horizon, down on the road, because nobody knows what exactly is expected of them. Sometimes, you know, co-workers can get on each other's nerves, but if you have an office and you have a workplace that has very well-defined roles and responsibilities, well, everybody does their job, that company will run like a fine-tuned machine. And so I say that to springboard us into this new teaching that I've entitled Kings and Priests. In Revelation chapter 1, we want to read a couple of verses. If you'll begin with me in Revelation 1 verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who, notably, who loved us. Are you loved by God? I'd say you have been, and you are, and you'll forever be loved by God. And notice, believers, who has washed us from our sins in His own blood. And verse 6, this is the key verse right here, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, among the many powerful things that John the Revelator, the Apostle John, that was very close to Jesus, I dare say probably the closest of all the 12 to Jesus, he states that we are, by the work of Jesus Christ in our life, we have been made two things, kings and priests unto God. All right, so people are asking, so what does that mean? What is me being a king, or how am I a king in the overall workings of God? How am I a priest? Okay, so let me break that down for you. First off, what you need to do, these are two God-ordained, God-appointed offices that God brought from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All right, very important for you to know. God brought them through the cross. A lot of people say, well, I thought the Old Testament was done away with. Yeah, but, you know, we have praise music. Where did praise music originate? It originated in the New Testament. King David brought it about. Festive worship, that came through the cross to the New Testament. Right? What about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments did not originate in the New Testament. They originated in Exodus chapter 20, the Old Testament, quite at the very close to the beginning. And so, you know, we see that some things in the Old Testament carry over into the New through the cross of Jesus Christ. And these two offices that God has ordained and God has appointed are no exception. Okay? So now let's break this down further. There are kings and there are priests. And God ordained, listen carefully, this partnership for the good of His kingdom. If you'll jog your memory with me, you're not going to read from 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. I'm close to finishing 1 Kings now, but kind of just picking kind of a jaunt through the Old Testament in my personal devotional study, and I see how vital these two offices are for an entire nation, particularly the nation of Israel, and how the king relied upon the priest, and how the priest relied upon the king. Okay? Now, very important, you'll see interactions. We'll look at some of these examples throughout this series, all right? But let me say here, the role of the king, let me start with the priest. The role of the priest is to provide the vision of God to life, the lives of people. Okay? Very important. The priest is to provide the vision of God. How important is vision? You know, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, without a vision, without a redemptive revelation from God, the people perish. The people will run as wild, untamed horses. Very descriptive language. Now, can you think of people in your life? Maybe you're not related to them. Perhaps you have long-distance relatives or short-tailed relatives that their lives could be summed up by saying that they're running their lives like wild, untamed horses. Can you say that? Wild, untamed horses. They have no seeming sense of purpose. They're going through life aimlessly. They have no direction in life. They're just wandering about. So they need the priest of God to speak the vision of God into their lives. Okay? So that, in a nutshell, is the role of a priest. Now, what is the role of the king? Whereas the priest is to provide the vision of God, the king is to provide provision for the vision of God. Did you hear that? The king is to provide provision for the vision of God. You know, I think of David amassing massive amounts of the material. Solomon amassing unbelievable amounts of material from another king so that the temple could be built. What was the king doing in that instance? He was providing provision for the vision of God, because the temple was God's vision for his people. Amen? And through the temple, the outlay of the temple, the inner workings of the temple, there we would see the redemptive work of Christ at the cross, kind of a foreshadow of it. So it's important that we know this at the very start of this series, church family. Priests provide the vision of God. Kings provide provision for the vision. All right? So let me break it down even further. If you are here listening to me through this wonderful means of technology this Wednesday evening, if you are collecting a paycheck as a full-time minister, which is me, then you are a priest of God. Okay? If you are here listening to me and if you're collecting a paycheck apart from ministry, then you are a king. My role is to provide from the Word of God the vision of God, and God's people are to provide the provision for that vision. How else would this church have been built many years ago? The beautiful structures that we have all over the world, massive churches, beautiful churches, places of worship. How could those have been built if someone, the man of God, the priest, did not cast vision and the king's rally around to provide the provision? Okay? Now, before we go on, because I know some of you are probably thinking ahead of me, they're saying, well, Pastor Joe, don't you get anything? Let me say, in my personal life, in my professional life, I am a priest. But in my personal life, I am a king. By God, I'm expected to tithe. By God, I'm expected to serve. By God, I'm expected to show mercy. By God, I'm expected to reach out to people. Right? In my life, personal life, I am a king. I'm to provide provision for the vision. All right? Now, this is where we've had a lot of troubles with cults. You know, the other day, I was watching kind of a documentary of a cultic group in Utah. This guy that had gained unbelievable amounts of control had different wives, you know, and with passing time, the wives were getting younger into the 15s and the 14-year-olds, and this was crazy. Yeah, there's a law against that, okay? But you know, and what he demanded was provision from everybody, but he gave nothing. He just took and took. My friends, that's not the plan of God. All the priests of God are to provide out of the provision of the king in their personal lives. All right, now that we have that settled, okay, so let's proceed with this. God has ordained these two offices so his work would get done. Now, we're going to see in the coming weeks that, you know, there's a lot of interaction. If you stop and think, there's a lot of the first mention of a priest and a king meeting together is Abraham. After, this is in Genesis chapter 14, after what the Bible calls the Battle of the Kings, there were nine kings going to battle, five against four, and there was an outcome of that, and then that's when Abraham, the king, King Abraham, Abram at that time, he gave a tenth of all the wealth that he amassed from his defeat of the other kings, all the wealth he amassed from that, and he gave it to Melchizedek, the priest of God. So that's the first recorded incident in the Bible illustrating how the priest provided, the priest Melchizedek in this case, provided vision for Abraham, and Abraham provided the tithe. What is that called? It's called provision. All right? So go with me, please, to Samuel, the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I want to show you another illustration of it. Very, very important. Alright? Because we, as we're embarking on this, listen, we all, let me just kind of take a little side trip and impress upon us, church family, no matter what your age is, if you're 80, 85, 90, you know what? You still have purpose. You still have purpose on this planet. You do. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the older one gets, they can't do as much. And that's true. But, you know, my friend, you can still smile. You can still love people. You can still love on your grandkids, your great-grandkids. You can seek to be a positive influence in their lives. You know, you can still write cards. You can still send encouragement letters. There's a lot you can do. Your purpose is not finished because, you know, some people have retired. Not against retirement. You do you, brother or sister. But I'm just saying that there's always purpose for the people of God. And the moment that purpose is done, then the Lord's going to take us home. Right? Because there's purpose. So everybody has purpose. But we have to have this clear definition, this clear understanding of the role of a priest and the role of a king. Now, let me say here, just before we get into the text, It's on my heart to share this. You know, before I even knew Jesus Christ personally, I knew that the Lord was calling me to serve in the role of a priesthood in His kingdom. I'm not referring to that role from a religious structure. I'm not referring to that role from some denominational sense. I'm just saying that I knew God was calling me to the ministry. How did I know that? Well, you know, I was a kid, I was a teenager, and I lived in a border town there in Texas. And on Friday nights, you know, my uncle and I, he would take me to some places that I wouldn't go to today as a child of God. And then when all the partying was done, I remember, you know, going home and the lights were out and it was dark, but I couldn't go to sleep. And the first thought that came to my mind in that moment of being alone were, Joe, you have to get your act together, number one, and need to go into ministry. Now, don't ask me where those thoughts came from. But invariably, every time I had finished partying, quote unquote, had gone home, those thoughts flooded my heart. I need to go. And so you can imagine, once I did give my life to Jesus Christ, well, that put that desire to go into the... Let me say here, for years I ran away from that desire, okay? But after I gave my life to Jesus, well, that put that desire and that calling to be a priest in the kingdom for the good of the kingdom on steroids, and I pursued it. This is with a laser beam focus, and that's the gospel truth. So anyway, so that is the calling of a priest. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 6. David is taking the Ark of the Covenant. He has ordered or commissioned the appropriate people to carry the Ark over to the city of David and to the tabernacle to return the Ark as it had been. And you'll remember with me in the Bible, it had been kind of routed to different cities, different towns and such. And now the Ark is coming back to the city of God, the city of David. And the pomp and the circumstance involved on that trek was pretty remarkable. And so we want to see that. And if you're with me here, let's go with me to verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Notice, "And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he, King David, sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Now, isn't that amazing? Very festive. Finally, the ark returns to the place it should have been in, to begin with. But you'll remember with me that Amalekites took it off after they defeated Israel ignominiously, soundly defeated them. Ichabod was pronounced over the nation of Israel. The glory of the Lord had departed. Actually, it's pronounced in the Hebrew, Ichabod, okay? So anyway, so they're making the trek back. Notice how many paces did the people take before David sacrificed? Six. You know, the king paced six times before there was an actual sacrifice. So let me paint it to you like this. As believers, listen, then we take six paces every week. First pace is called Monday. Second pace is called Tuesday. Third pace is called Wednesday. Fourth pace is called Friday. No, fourth pace is called Thursday. Fifth pace is called Friday, BGIF. And sixth pace is called Saturday. And on the seventh one, there was a sacrifice to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Remember, David was wearing a linen ephod. Okay, what's the significance of that? Only priests wore that ephod. And so even as a priest myself, I am called to be a king in my personal life. Listen, let me say here to you that you are called to be a priest in your personal life when we gather together on Sunday mornings, when we gather to worship the Lord. I know right now it's not possible, but I'm praying. Listen, oh my gosh, I can hardly wait to hug next. And if you're not a hugger, buddy, I'm still going to hug your neck, so get ready. I might pull a Pepe Le Pew on you. I'll be like, get out of here. So anyway, but you know that when we gather, we are to offer a sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? The Bible says a sacrifice of praise. Excuse me, in Hebrews chapter 13, the fruit of our lips, praise to God. We do that when we gather. Gosh, I miss those days of an awful. And, you know, we also provide our provision, right? Kings, we act as kings on Sundays, but we also act as priests. We offer up sacrifices to the Lord. So it's vital that we see this, church family. Why is it that some people feel that they can only serve the Lord in full-time ministry? My friend, let me say first, very lovingly and very gently, you don't want to be in ministry unless you're called to ministry. Amen. Is that something you earn? Is that something you graduate towards? You're either called to full-time ministry or you're not. And so we've got to determine that in our hearts. What is my primary calling? Because a lot of people feel that, you know, what does my secular job do? Well, brother, you're a king. You're amassing provision for the work of God. You know, I love it. Our mission Sundays, when everybody comes up, all the kings come up, and they give their provision to the Lord for missions. Or, trust me, and I'm always mindful of this, when the offering plate goes around, some of you are thinking, well, are you really talking about money now? Yeah, but I'm a preacher. What else do you expect? So when the offering plate goes around, that you put your money in, you know, you're providing provision for the vision. Amen. Do you see the working of this? Now let me see here, just kind of give us some perspectives. I'm also want to talk about when the kings left off their kingly responsibility. And that's not pretty. And let me see here, when the priests left off their responsibility, that can hurt the kingdom. In fact, since I've been reading in 1 Kings, you know, I've noticed that there were some evil kings. And one thing about, since we're talking about kings, a principle in the Old Testament, as went the king, so went the nation of Israel. So went the kingdom of Israel, so went the kingdom of Judah. You know, they had a split kingdom because of Solomon. As went the king, so went the nation. In other words, if Israel had a good king, Israel had a good nation. If Israel had a godly king, Israel was a godly nation. However, if Israel had a wicked king, Israel was a wicked nation. As went the king, so went the nation. And sometimes the wicked king would seek to kill the priest of God, because the priest of God provided vision and spoke vision into that king's life, and that king's life reacted to it violently and sought to snuff out the life of the priest. Now, we have to understand this, Chief. I mean, I want to set it out before us so we can chew on this. There's far more that I want to explore at this point, but for now, let's offer it up to the Lord, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Help us now, Lord, with this understanding to apply it to our lives. Father, if we're called to be king, let us do it gladly, Lord. As we see a vision here, as we see an illustration here in 2 Samuel of David dancing before you so gleefully, so joyfully, Lord, for the fact that he was a king. And Father, as kings, we rejoice that we've been privileged with the ability to earn money as businessmen or people with a secular, quote-unquote, career, as farmers, Lord, to provide provision for the vision. And also, if we are priests, Lord, help us to stay in our lanes and to proclaim the Word of God boldly, lovingly, gently, with great patience, Lord. Father, especially in times when the truth is being watered down, may your vision stand true and continue to shine on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for all this, and in his name we pray. Amen.